God be with you, and welcome to worship this morning at Knox United Church in Parksville, BC, and welcome to those of you who are able to be here in person at Knox, and those of you who are at home. So we're thrilled that everybody's here, and I wish that I could see your smiles, like you can hopefully see mine, and so I'll just depend on your crinkly eyes. So that would be great. It's so great to see everybody here. It's much more enjoyable, isn't it, Donna, to not be alone. By far, yes. So I have several announcements today. The first is that there is going to be a second service today, and it's the Family Messy Church. And we have three different families that are going to be coming today, right after this service, so we'll need to leave immediately after. You can visit outside, it's safer anyway, and that way we can set up and sanitize the area for the families coming in to do messy church. And there's also going to be two concerts today by Amy Bishop, one at 2 and one at 5, so we're trying to keep everyone safe. There's also a Zoom service tonight because it is Worldwide Communion today. And we can't celebrate it in person because we'd have to remove our masks to eat. So we're offering a Zoom service for home communion tonight at 7 o'clock. If you don't know how to Zoom, you can contact me. You can also contact Mert Omnis and Jan Korbermacher, who can help you learn how to Zoom. And you just have to download the Zoom app, and then the password and ID have been sent out to everybody, and so Charlene and I will be Zooming from the chapel because there's going to be a concert going on here. So you'll just all you have to do from home is just get a candle, and we'll light a candle all at the same time, and then have maybe a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever you want for your juice, and a loaf of bread or a bun or a cracker or a muffin, whatever you want for to represent, symbolize bread. So we'll be having that this evening at 7 o'clock. Yeah. And on after next week, it's Thanksgiving, and then the week after that, October the 18th, Barb Myers is going to be here. Barb was able to lead the music for three of our worship services over the course of the summer. And so she is coming back for the services on October the 18th. As well, she offered to do a fundraiser for Knox at a concert at 2 o'clock in the afternoon following that service. So you're welcome to, there'll be more information coming about that, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. I just wanted to remind you about some safety protocols. Because we're trying to keep all of our droplets safe, and that's why I'm far enough away from you, and if anybody's going to get my droplets, it's going to be rain. So, if you end up finding yourself coughing, I know it's so embarrassing, but if you could just please then just remove yourself from the sanctuary, that would be great, and then come back in, and don't take off your mask, because that's the whole point of having the mask, to save the droplets from going anywhere. And during the prayers of the people, I'm the only one that can say the prayers of the people, because when you recite, even under your mask, it's spreading droplets through the mask and around. So we're trying to keep everyone safe. So there's no recitation, so just say the Lord's Prayer along with me in your heart, and the same goes for singing. And so your soul can still sing, even if your mouth can't. And as I said about that we can't socialize in here. It's safer to socialize outside, 6 feet apart outside. I know it's not the nicest day, but in the parking lot would be the safest place for us to socialize. So, with all of that behind us, let us light the Christ candle as a reminder that the light of Christ is here. And Martha, I'm going to imagine you lighting this candle, or Mary lighting this candle, or one of the children lighting this candle, as on regular Sundays. As this light burns in this room, so too it burns in each of our hearts this day. that we may be filled with the light of Christ. And we cannot pass the peace with one another physically, but we can pass the peace of Christ in our hearts. So I just ask for this time of peace, that you send peace to one another in this space and in the space of those we know or at home, and to those that with whom you are in relationship, and maybe there's some difficulty that you're having with someone in your life right now. So just send peace and kindness to them this day in this time of quiet. It is wonderful to have three members of our choir here that are helping us bring music into this space and leading those that are at home. Thank you to Caroline Hamill and to Brian Stubbings and Alice Wilms, and of course to Donna White, our accompanist. Let us sing together in our souls, part of the family. I know it's so hard not to be able to sing, and it reminds me watching all of you listening and tapping to the music or swaying to the music. Reminded me of what Mert said to me last week after last week's service. She said, "You must have looked out and felt like you were surrounded by a bunch of spiritual bandits." I said, "That's exactly what it felt like." Wonderful spiritual bandits, I might add. Let us gather together in prayer. Let us pray. Sacred source of this amazing life, we give thanks that in the midst of a worldwide crisis, we can gather together as your people and remind one another that we are not alone, that there are many others who are seeking to do your will and bring love and kindness to this planet. Be with us this day, for you know our every need. For those who are despairing, you encourage us. For those who are lonely, you add your friendship to our lives. For those who are broken and hurting, you bring healing. We give thanks for your great loving kindness toward each creature. Be with us this day. Infuse our hearts with love, we pray. In the name of the Christ, the one from Nazareth who showed us how to love one another, we pray. Amen. I would invite Caroline to offer our scripture reading for today.
The readings are from the prophet Zechariah, Paul's letter to the Colossians, and first letter of Peter, all reminding us of the importance of kindness. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor. And do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." But they refused to listen and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears in order not to hear. They made their hearts adamant in order not to hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, a great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Just as when I called, they would not hear, so when they called, I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and a pleasant land was made desolate. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing.
I want you to imagine a very senior, senior, senior woman sharing this story. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru this morning, and a young lady behind me honked and yelled at me, very upset, probably because I was taking way too long to pay. "Wow," I thought to myself, "take the high road." So I paid for her food. As I moved up and she leaned out the window looking all crazy at me because the cashier told her I had paid for her food, I could see that she felt a little bit embarrassed. When I got to the second window to get my food, I showed them both receipts, and so they gave me both my food and the young woman's food. So now she has to wait a little longer. She's going to learn today that you don't mess with us old people. Today we begin a new 8-week series that is going to be taking us right through to Advent, the 4 weeks before Christmas. And that theme is based on Gary Chapman's book. Remember Gary Chapman? He wrote a book many years ago called The Five Languages of Love. It's a good book. Well, he's written another book called Love as a Way of Life, Seven Keys to Transforming Every Aspect of Your Life. And so today we're going to be exploring the importance of love as it expressed in the first key, the key of kindness. I don't know about you, but doesn't the world seem to have become a lot more rude and cruel in this time? Do you feel like that? That it's just, am I alone? It feels a lot angrier and meaner or something during this time, at least on the news. I think it's because there's been so much fear. Fear about the virus, fear about the changes in our climate, fear of difference between people. And all of this fear seems to be bringing out some of the worst in people. It seems to be bringing out a lot of meanness and hatred and cruelty and violence. We just have to turn on the news and witness a lot of angry people protesting, people dying at the hands of police violence, people talking over one another in debates, insulting one another. This past week, a young Indigenous mother of seven, Joyce Ekekwan, died in a Quebec hospital with the last words she heard spoken were devastating words of hate and racism hurled at her from a nurse and orderly, which she recorded from her phone. It's so sad. What has our society come to if hatred and cruelty are the last words people receive on this earth? But our scripture this morning reminds us that a world without love in it is a desolate wasteland indeed. Zechariah reminds us that it is a desolate world when hearts of stone oppress and are unkind to the widow and the orphan and the immigrant and the most vulnerable and the poor. I know it's not a world that we want to live in, but it's a world in which we seemingly have found ourselves of late. But our scriptures remind us that we're not supposed to live this way, that perfect love casts out all fear. Our scriptures remind us that we're not to be about hate and judgment, but to be about justice and love and mercy, and that our love is to extend even to our enemies, that above all we are to clothe ourselves with love, which will bring about harmony. Our scriptures remind us that as followers of Jesus and of the way, even when others abuse us or misuse us or mistreat us, we are to respond not with cruelty or rudeness or hate or vengeance, but with kindness. Now that's a big ask sometimes. In fact, though, it wasn't even an ask. Jesus actually offered it as a new commandment. Love, you could say, are our marching orders. And we're not asked to love. We're commanded to love. Why? Because God knows that it's only love that will be powerful enough to melt an angry heart, to heal a broken heart. It is only love that can ultimately transform a world of fear and cruelty and insult and hate into a world of peace and harmony and unity. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be practicing how each of us can learn how to love better, how to become more loving people, because our families need it, our workplaces need it, our churches need it, our community needs it, and our world needs it. So we're going to be reflecting here and practicing different steps on how to love better. And today we're going to be reflecting on the importance of kindness. Now, the word for kindness comes from the same root as kin, as family, as the Indigenous people say, all our relations. When we are acting kindly, We're treating everyone as beloved family. I'm reminding you, it's beloved family. It's not the family members that drive us crazy. It's the family members that we hold dear. We're to treat everyone as if they were our dearest. When we are kind, we are recognizing the interconnectedness of all living things. It's being aware of my heart connection with yours, whether that other is a friend or an enemy, whether that person is a person or an animal or even a plant. An act of kindness stems from a recognition that we have kinship, connection with the other. The prophet Zechariah, who lived 500 years before Jesus, reminded the Hebrew people that they needed to be kind, especially to the people who are most vulnerable, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, and the poor. Plato, who lived around the same time as Zechariah, reminded people how important it is to be kind and to feel that sense of connection with another. He said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." Isn't that true? To be reminded that everyone is struggling with our lives. And then Jesus comes along in 2000 and reminds people to be compassionate, even as God in heaven is compassionate, which means to feel in the gut what another person is feeling. And then Paul and Peter come along 50 years after Jesus and remind followers of Jesus to be kind and gentle with one another, even with those who abuse us or mistreat us. And then, of course, Bonnie Henry, what has her words been? You could probably repeat them if you were allowed. Be kind, be calm, be safe. The Hebrew word hesed means loving kindness, and it's used countless times throughout scripture calling the people to be kind. And in fact, the word hesed is used 23 times just in the Psalms. Kindness to those who are different from us, who don't look like us. Kindness to those who are most vulnerable, who are hurting. Kindness to our kin. In fact, it is only through loving kindness that we can achieve tikkun olam, repair of the world. There is something called the science of kindness that recognizes that kindness is contagious. In fact, just like the COVID virus is passed so quickly, so they have found is kindness. There have been studies done where they have traced a good deed and watched how it spread, how it multiplied throughout that whole area. So one person perhaps does three small acts of kindness to one person, or to three people, and those three people go and do it to another three people, so then you have nine people, and then those nine people do it to another three people, and that's 27 people, and on, it multiplies very, very quickly as a virus. Can kindness be caught? In his book, Love as a Way of Life, Gary Chapman shared about a man who didn't think the world was very kind. So he was asked by his therapist to sit down and write at the end of the day how many acts of kindness he had received or witnessed. He wrote down 15 small acts of kindness, and I'm going to only name a few. When I failed to respond to the alarm clock this morning, my wife woke me up so I wouldn't be late for work. When I drove out of my development, a man paused and waved me into the flow of traffic. When I got to my office, my assistant had already booted up my computer. When I went for a break and didn't have a dollar for the drink machine, a fellow employee loaned me a dollar and bought me my drink. I went to lunch alone, but was invited to sit with two other people. We had a great conversation. I received an email from a customer who thanked me for an order that they had received promptly. When I left the building, someone opened the door for me and smiled and waved at me and told me to have a good day. When I came home, my children gave me a hug hello, and my partner had already started dinner. Simple acts of kindness that this man realized had made his day so much better, so much easier, had lightened his heart. Inspired by all these small acts of kindness, he decided to pay them forward. As Aesop, who lived 600 years before Christ, said, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever, ever wasted." There are people in our church who are exceedingly kind. They are the first to speak with the person who is homeless that is sitting outside the bank or the grocery store in town, and they buy them something to eat or stop to talk with them because they recognize that we are all kin. John Thompson in our congregation shared with us how he carries protein bars in his car just in case he sees a person who may be hungry, so he has something to offer them. Wouldn't it be a great idea if all of us at Knox did the same thing? There are several members of our community who are meeting at St. Edmund's every week to make meals to deliver to those who are homeless and presently living in some of our local motels. This church is full of people who are kind. So how do we continue to spread the kindness in our community, especially in COVID, where we can't get too physically close to one another? A couple of weeks ago, Rain came across a really neat website. A woman had decided to help people create positive affirmations of welcome. And for $9.50, you could create your own compassionate welcome statements of inclusion on a sign that she can send to you digitally, and then you have someone else print the sign for you, which we did. It's right there. And it was $50 for VistaPrints to create the sign for our front lawn. So we thought, that'd be really cool. We could put it out on our front lawn. And that would hopefully spread kindness in people's hearts. And we thought, if everyone at Knox did that and put your own affirmations on there, what a cool thing for everybody walking by or driving by. You can see what you believe, what you stand for. So, can everybody see it? In our home, creation is treasured, immigrants and refugees are valued, BIPOC, that's Black, Indigenous, people of color, lives matter. Women's rights are human rights. Love is love. Disabilities are respected. All faiths are honored. Kindness is everything. Those are the statements that we chose, and you can choose your own statements or make them up. And then for $9.50, she'll send it to you. Isn't that cool? So I think it's really exciting. And Social Justice and Outreach thought it was exciting too. Kindness can transform stony hearts and unite a divided community. When we're clothed in love, we can create harmony all around us. And according to Scripture, kindness is far more than about being nice. Acts of kindness can actually overcome evil and turn enemies into friends. Like the story of Howard Thurman's mother and her act of kindness. Howard Thurman was an African-American philosopher, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader who died in 1981. And he was a mentor to Martin Luther King. And he tells the story of how he learned about the importance of overcoming evil with kindness from his mother. And this is what he shared in a sermon in the 60s. "The best example of kindness I have is one from my mother. I was born into a Black family of sharecroppers that lived on a farm. Our home backed up to the home of white sharecroppers. A fence separated the two backyards. Soon after we moved in, our white neighbor cleaned out his chicken coop, throwing all of the manure over the fence into our backyard. My dad and I were furious at this great insult, but my mother said, "No, you let me handle this. I know what to do." She left that pile of chicken manure, which stunk, out there in the July sun, the August sun, and the September sun to rot. In the fall, she used a potato fork to dig up a plot of earth in our backyard, working that chicken manure into the soil. Then in early spring, she turned the ground all over again and then planted seeds. About the 1st of June, my mother took me by the hand and told me to come with her out to the garden. We harvested fresh flowers and vegetables and put them in a basket. The white sharecroppers who lived in the other house behind us had never once spoken to us. But my mother walked around the fence and up onto their front porch of the neighbor's house. She knocked on the door and said to our neighbor, "You were so kind to share your chicken manure with us last summer that I wanted to share our vegetables and flowers with you." Howard Thurman writes, "Our families that day became steadfast friends." Kindness has the power to overcome hatred and turn enemies into friends. Kindness is the only way to unite people in divided, angry times like these that we are living in. In this time where fear and anger and cruelty are on the rise in the world, let us live the life of love that Jesus lived and use the key of kindness to overturn evil. In this time of COVID, may kindness become the true contagion. May it be so. Amen. Let us not sing together. Let us with a gladsome mind. Invited Els to come forward to lead us in the singing bowl, inviting us into center and to pray. source of love and kindness. We give thanks that you pour out your loving kindness toward each one of us. We give thanks that you are not capable of hate, that you are the birther of love and have created all things in that great love. Help us to be as loving and kind as you. Help us to be like your Christ, who loved even his worst enemies. And because of that, was raised to new life. Help us to raise others to new life with your loving kindness. For this we pray. Be still, our souls. We pray this day for all those among us who are ill, who are sick at heart, whose spirits are broken from the strain of living, for those whose every day is full of pain, whose bodies hurt, for those who are ill with cancer or other life-threatening disease, for those whose eyes are failing, for those whose hearts are strained, we pray for healing. We pray this day for all those among us who are grieving, we pray this day for all those who are suffering from COVID-19 throughout the world and all those who grieve for those who have died. Help each person understand that you indeed are on our side. Pray this day for this city, that it may become a city of kindness and care, filled with compassion for all people, especially those who are vulnerable. We pray this day for our country as it struggles to meet the needs of its most vulnerable, those who have lost work, those who are sick, companies that are struggling, those who are struggling to pay the bills. We pray that they would continue to be a compassionate government. We pray this day for leaders around the world, for compassion instead of cruelty, for the power of love instead of the power of self-service and self-interest. We pray this day for our neighbors who are struggling to the south of us. We pray for their president and and the First Lady for their healing. We pray this day for those among us who are ill. We pray especially for Marilyn Sharman McDonald. And now in the silence, we bring before you our other concerns, and we lift them to you in the silence of our own hearts. And we name them now, trusting that you hear every cry, every name, every thought. Oh God, we give thanks that you are on our side and everyone's side, that you are for us and not against us. We pray that your Spirit would breathe new life into our planet, that we might rise again, whole and restored, and more loving than when this virus first began. Help us to be kind to the planet and to all living creatures. Fill us with your love. O God, we give thanks that you are on our side. We sense your presence, O God, as we offer our ancient prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We read the words and listen to the song about the power of love. Of God's great love, love divine, all loves excelling.
Thank you.
Go forth from this place and be kind to yourselves and to one another, for our God is kind to each of us. And as you go forth, may the deep love of God surround you, and the kindness of the Christ guide you in all you say and do, and may the Holy Spirit fill you and give you strength and energy and the power of love to do the things you need to do.